This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well, it's Caroline and Ezra on the All New Evening Edition. When it comes to property, some of us have that spare change, but the question is, who's actually snapping up all of these, you know, million ringgit studio units that are, I guess, around that KLCC area? And for the average Malaysian wage earner, the idea of paying those numbers for 600 square foot, I mean, it's preposterous, isn't it?
Yep. I guess, long story short, foreigners are buying up all the expensive properties. They're favourable conditions in spite of the 1 million ringgit minimum price that they have to go for, because regional were still cheap. They're allowed to deal in freehold.
Yeah.
These properties are located in great areas. Returns are good. But when looking to unload, apparently, locals still can't afford to buy them. So then you land yourself in a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. And as you're seeing, you know, if you're going outside of the city centre and going into, I guess, some of the other cities adjacent to KL, those property prices have gone up considerably because there's a lot more demand for cheaper alternatives or more cost-effective alternatives as well.
Yep, that's right. So the repayment installment for a 1 million ringgit loan actually hovers apparently between 4,500 and 4,800 ringgit, depending on the interest rate, of course, the repayment structure. And what analysts are saying is that these projects could yield returns of between 3 and 4% over 3 to 4 years.
Well, let's hear from our next speaker, who's going to give us a little bit more analysis. We're crossing over now to Dr. Carmelo Ferlito from IDEAS. That's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, who just landed in Manila. Dr. Ferlito, thank you for making the time to talk to us. And last year, New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern decided that a blanket ban on wealthy foreigners snapping up property in New Zealand was the answer to halt their housing crisis. Do you think Malaysia should similarly adopt this approach and ban foreign buyers altogether?
Good evening, first of all, thanks for having me.
Good evening.
If you are going to have a property crisis, which manifests itself with a certain number of unsold properties, to cut off a certain category of potential buyers, mainly ones that have more money to buy, I don't think this is going to help the market. In the end, you are aggravating the problem because you are reducing the number of potential buyers.
Right. And how much would you be able to say a move? How much would a move like that harm the economy? I mean, we're talking about losing foreign investment, and that's substantial to any economy, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Well, of course, this is not a big category in the realm of investment, but for sure, if we imagine a property crisis, okay, and then we aggravate it by cutting out a group of potential buyers, yeah, we have to think not only in terms of the consequences that this can have in terms of unsold properties, but in general on the economies, you are harming all the people that are in a way connected with that market.
Yeah.
So we don't have to think only in terms of class struggle, you know, rich people against poor people. But whenever a property company sell an expensive unit, there are also poor people that are the middle class that is benefit from it, because are the people that are working in the company, the accounting people, the sales people, the cleaning people. So if a property company can stay on the market, all classes are actually benefiting from that.
Right.
Dr. Ferlito, there's some concern among certain quarters about the attention local developers are giving this, I guess, elite segment by building luxury properties instead of more medium cost houses. Is that a fair concern?
Well, I don't see it as a concern. Of course, when we look at business people, they try to invest whenever they see the highest chances for a profit opportunity. This is totally normal. This is also what we do when we are looking for a job. No, we are looking for the best alternative in the market, possibly. So this is a normal business dynamic. And I'm pretty sure that in the moment in which the crisis will burst, the bubble will burst, there will be a price moderation, and probably constructors will realize that there is a market sector that still have a potential that can be exploited if you look at about middle class or the lower income. Mm-hmm. But be sure that in this moment we have quite a high number of unsold properties below 1 million ringgit. Mm-hmm. It was a news reported by the New Straits Times last week. So, of course, the luxury market suffer less from a crisis because it's a nature of luxury product to suffer less whenever there is a downturn in the cycle. But in this moment, the difficulties in the property market are affecting also the lower priced properties. This is something that has to be noted. So 250,000 ringgit properties are mm-hmm. there and are unsold. So pointing the finger at luxury properties or foreign buyers is totally missing the point of what's going on in the property market.
Mm. Well, Dr. Felito, thank you very much for your time. That was Dr. Carmelo Felito from IDEAS. That's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. I think there's, I guess, a larger macro perspective that Dr. Felito is taking, saying that apart from the million-dollar apartments, you're looking at all of these other six-digit apartments that are still sort of empty as well, and who's buying those, right?
Exactly, and also interesting, he pointed out the jobs that do come along with it.
That's right. We've got some music for you right now. Huey Lewis and the News, Working for a Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.